Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm looking down.
Apparently the opening of words that she can't say.
Yes. Hello, everybody. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Oh, there you are.
Oh, and I'm so worried.
Well, would you believe it just disconnected her? So I'll bet you she'll dial. I bet you she'll dial right back, though. So, yeah, you're listening to A Team of Voices, and tonight is Sweet Discussions with Sweetie, and she'll be back in a moment.
Team of Voices.
Yeah. Sponsored by the AP Poetry
Foundation.
Jinx. You know, she's probably not realized that she got disconnected, and I bet you she's speaking her intro right now.
I did that the other day. Went through the whole Vegas.
I've done that too, because you don't realize until you wonder why nobody's responding when you talk to them, and you look in the studio and realize that you're the one that got disconnected.
I had to look at the phone. Nothing
there. She
so it's hot in California today.
Right? Yeah. And so it's good to see you, Raconteur and Hatter. Nice to be here with you guys. I put her SoundClouds in for her. And oh, and Hatter, since we're waiting, we are going to judge the contest on Sunday, 4 o'clock your time.
Okay. Hello. Let me go set the get block the highway out.
Okay.
I'm in the West Wing.
In the West Wing? Ah.
Yep. Drawbridge closing. Okay.
Drawbridge closing.
Yep.
But I guess it's 4 year time and 6 weeks time and 7 my time and 9 a.m. down in Oz. So we'll get together and get that contest judged so we can pay the gold winner. And,
there you go.
He's still not back. My, oh my, where is sweet potato pie? Say I'm a poet.
Oh, we should move Buddy down on how long.
On how long it'll take her to realize that she has to take her.
I think you could be talking about shows that are coming up instead.
We could do that. Well, good idea, Rack and
She's
Ford.
On our third poem. She's on the third poem.
She's already on the third poem.
Probably telling you about, she's probably telling you about all the avenues you could write about being trapped. But anyway, tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern, Liquid Damage goes live with open poetry, and she tells jokes and stuff, so it's always a fun show. And on Saturday night, it's Hatter and AP and me, and the topic is the carried-over topic of milk.
Milk.
Milk. Milk. And then Monday.
Do you want to know how much blabbering I did before I realized I wasn't talking to you guys?
We were taking.
How much time went by? Big I won.
We had said that you probably were doing your intro, and it wasn't until nobody responded that you would look in the studio and see that you weren't there anymore.
How does like she's on her third poem already?
So I told everybody who we were waiting to call back for your show, and I did the AP Taylor Poetry Foundation thing, and I pushed the next 3 shows that all start at 10 p.m. So you're ready.
I'm glad.
And we're halfway done.
I'm just good. Good, good. Glad to hear it. So happy. So happy I've got a
So it's time to give you thanks, and we'll call you back tomorrow.
You know, I said what great talented people I had. These people, I just have great. All of it. I gave kudos to whoever wrote the, AP Foundation, Literary Wonders, all of that. Thought that was a great piece. All that, but no one heard me. But Amadeus and Remington applauded. So there you go.
I bet they did. They loved
happy.
Their mama. Of course they would.
Yeah.
And I was explaining right now what her topic is and telling you all kinds of wonderful things and just not realizing that she's not here.
Yeah, you know. Why would I pay attention? Oh, good Lord. I am so sorry. And this now is the 4th time I've called. So if I disappear again, I don't know if I'll come back. I don't know. It might be a problem for you people. It's like she's gone.
Not for me.
She's
I'm out of here
the
in
entire.
Minutes.
I know. So, everybody, I have a few surprises since I've waited for a couple weeks for this to happen. First person we're going to put on board is Deborah Lee. Not for one poem, but for 2.
Oh.
Hope you were
ready
for this.
You don't have to worry about it.
I know I don't have to worry about it. I want to worry about it. I want to hear you read it.
Okay. I don't even remember what it was, but we can do that.
Put me on the spot and everything. There you go.
Aha. It's the one from Pain. And this poem is called Pain is a Coconut with No Lime. And here we go. In a world with the people smiling into faces, then carving shoulder muscles with knives they slash and gash grinning. You push me too hard, so my back is pressed up to the wallpapered stucco blocking the red flesh bullseye target. Are the neon pigments in the rainbow arches dead? Does the tooth fairy laugh, plucking teeth like watermelon seeds as we sleep in denim bunk beds? Do we snore wrapped inside 9 million thread count flannel sheets as the sugar plum fairies square dance in lime green dotted tutus? And do we barbecue the reindeer in the rotisserie pit, serving the antlers spiced with a side dish of roasted cottontail hairs marinated in toasted honey? We do. And we do it peeking out bubblegum pink-tinted bifocal lenses framed with 24-karat gold dust. And we do it chewing caramel popcorn, staring at the starlight. Then, daydreaming of dollar bills and diamonds, we trip over men sleeping on the icy sidewalk. Sugar-coated turds still stink and stick to the leather penny loafers stomping over friends. Pain is nail-polished color painted on fingernails that we scratch eyeballs out with, and pain is the silence broken by weeping babies with no food. And pain rises from the gut, burns the esophagus, and torches all the tummy butterflies in acid, oozing in geysers laced with coffee, cream, and two sugars. And poem.
Well, there you go. That was something worth waiting for. Damn, that is good. These are killer lines in here. I really, really enjoyed them. Oh, and do we barbecue the reindeer in the rotisserie pit, serving the antler spice with a side dish of roasted cottontail hair, marinated in toasty honey. Mmm. And we do speaking out of the bubblegum, out of the bubblegum pink tinfoil bifocal lenses framed with 24-karat gold dust, and we do it chewing caramel popcorn, staring at the starlight. As we trip over the men sleeping on the icy sidewalk. Excuse me, my diamond is in the way. Is that not the truth? Oh. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And here we go again. This is just stunning. It's got, like, literally the knife slash it, pour on the acid, and just keep on walking by. Oh, wait, my son has to pee. Go tinkle in the open wound over there. That guy needs to get warm. It's just got that attitude.
What? What the hell was that?
I just...
No, I get it. That was part of her comment. I love the comment.
I mean, I'm sorry. That's just kind of the attitude. Sorry, Hatter. I know you're still probably welcome back to America. that's just how
I
saw it. Like,
the
cold
again.
It was just like, you know, yeah, I gotta be sweetie now, making warm honey. That's the attitude I got from him. I really, really enjoyed it. Hatter, your thoughts on this, my darling?
Thank you, sweet.
Well, I'll never complain about being cold again. I think the, reindeer's good sitting around the fire, barbecuing and singing Christmas songs. Now this is, you stretched it out. Do we? That's what I said about the name. Do we? Do we? Painted the nail polish color, painted on fingernails that we scratch eyeballs out. Okay. You can always tell when Deb is a little angry in the last 12, 24 hours or so. Right?
This is true.
It was enjoyable, Deb.
Thank you, Heather.
And Raconteur.
Yes, let's all take delight in Deb's pain. And you're very expressive when it comes to things like that. I don't know whether to be hungry or you know, scared sometimes when you go off on things. You've got a way with words, you definitely do. And again, you know, you've got all the color in there and the emotion. So it's a trip. It's definitely a trip. And your visuals are very vivid. You know, I enjoyed it, but I'm still stuck on the antlers and the barbecuing. So.
I love this one because it's from one of Sky's contests, and she gave me the gold, and I'm glad everybody liked it. Thank you, Raconteur.
Oh, well deserved. It just definitely has that. Yeah, I just well deserved. All right, so now I'm going to do the one for you this week because I know that you're jumping to go get funds and all that fun stuff, and you're a busy, busy woman. So we're going to put up this one because I just from the title, I don't see it being too much more joyful. But my this month has been about me coming, you know, back from a whole world of craziness. So that's just kind of easy the way it is. Yes, of course you can comment, Sky. I didn't even know you had jumped on. Hold on, let me let you in. Hey, Sky, I said the nicest and sweetest thing about people stopping by your show before they come to mine. I was talking to myself the whole freaking time. The whole time.
You're the only one that listens to you, so that's you know, appropriate.
Thank you. I feel that, too.
This is my Zod poem. Hi, sweet.
Okay.
This is my
little boy go pee in the moon
and make me warm. It makes me so happy because I can come visit you. Can I comment on Deb's poem?
Yes, you may. Yes.
Thank you so much. So this was for my Zod contest, which is why I was yelling Neil before Zod. So I love what you... If anybody was curious why I was screaming Neil before Zod, I thought this was such a wonderful piece. And I love... It did deserve the gold. It was so brilliant. And I didn't get to hear you read it again, Deb, because I wasn't here quite in time. But I do remember it, and I did reread it myself when I was like, oh, hey, what about me? The darkness in this was so wonderful. The way that you capture, right here, are the neon pigments and the rainbow arches dead? Does the tooth fairy laugh, sucking teeth like watermelon seeds as we sleep on denim bunk beds? I love that. I love because you're reaching to very different things, like very different ideas. I mean, you go from neon pigments to rainbows, which, okay, pigments and rainbows, we can say that those are similar. But then you start talking about arches of dead, that darkness. So you contrast that very light with the dark. And then you go from fairy laughs to clucking teeth like watermelon seeds. I love that visual. And I mean, that's only three lines of the poem. I really love this one. I really, really enjoyed it. I'm not really sure why it's not on my recommended list, but I'm going to change that now. I won't say too much more, Deb, but I really love this one, and I'm so glad to see it again. Thanks.
Thank you, Sky.
I want to correct Sky in a very public way. I would like to correct Sky. If anybody knows Sky, she does randomly say, kneel before God in odd moments.
Yep, she sure does. There's even a button in her studio at a Poetic Slice that says it too.
Yeah, to be fair, that is my intro. I know that you guys always call into my show, but if you ever call into a show and you're already there when I come in, that is my intro. So.
Yep.
You know, at Poetic
Slice.
So
madness.
So, I don't know. Yes. Tracking towards your thoughts. Or did I get thoughts?
He did.
I got that. All right. No, I've got you on the board for your other poem. That's what we're waiting for.
Cool. Okay. Well, since Hatter already gave away my secrets, yes, I was definitely a bit agitated with a particular female when I wrote this poem. And this is called,
I'm sorry.
She marinates in the trap of lies she laid for troubadours. Here we go. Trapped in silk webbing that she handmade herself, spinning webs of lies to trap troubadours. She now sits in these dark gray ash shrouds of self-intoxication, lacing pickled sobs with snorted lines of imperfections, accessorizing blue eyes in bloodshot red. Her will to speak is now lost from twisting those lies, then banging her head on garnet brick walls and smashing window panes just to tiptoe over the broken glass pathway, creating the card house she dwells in under hurricane winds and whimpering as the breezes knock it down. Her body rocks side to side with her brain paralyzed in desperation and darkness. After endless nights in the silent shadows, loud screams are trapped in two bleeding lips as blood gushes from the gashes her teeth dig, biting down to trap the lies in her throat. Now, heckled laughs echo from the horned creature that she made her peace with as her body stands frozen at the mirror on the face of his snarling fire pit. 10 flame-covered fingertips solder wrinkles into her pocked flesh, carving crimson scars and mapping out the highway to hell for her journey down. The journey into the pyre leaves her forever trapped in the loop of fiery torment in the Groundhog Day replay with the flesh welded to bone and pus bubbles oozing. No salt water spills and silver teardrops from eyes without lids fried off with the lashes, just lava droplets burning black char-marked trails that fry crackling and shooting hot flames. Sizzled crunching sounds rise from the blaze in the flaming trap like crispy fried chicken at barbecue as her skin ignites, then extinguishes and ignites again, then again. As I whisper goodbye, wearing my carnation pink lip gloss grin, and boom.
Oh my God, that last line is just bye bye, darling, and I'll eat my cotton candy. I love that last line. You've got all this hellfire and brimstone, and you know, driving down to Dante's hell, and fire and fire and sizzled crunching sounds from blazing fine scraps, crispy fried chicken and 10 flame covered fingertips, soldering wrinkles and just all of that. And as I in my damnation face gloss with a stick. Oh, good Lord, that's just perfect ending. Just I just love that. Oh, my brain paralyzed in desperation and darkness. But God, that last line, that is something I would do in a heartbeat, and I love it. Just, you know, oh, God. Excuse me as I put my nails. Oh, God, I love that. Absolute perfection, my dear.
Thank you.
Sky, what are your thoughts?
I remember Ina Evans. This was a great piece. I really loved how you speak of, you know, the idea how people can really be their own self-destruction and really trap themselves in what they say and what they do. I mean, you start right off the bat, right with a bang, trapped in the silk webbing that she handmade herself in webs of lies, trapped through the doors. I love that because there's so many ways to go here, and I think that we all know people like and how you kind of descend and you descend and you descend. And right here, her will to speak is now lost from twisting those thin lines. Plunging yourself so far beneath the surface that you can't really quite crawl out of what you dug yourself into. And I thought the metaphors were wonderful, and the message was very blunt and stark, which I really like, really well done.
Thank you so much, Sky. Appreciate that.
And Rex, your thoughts.
The barbecue came up again. I don't know what it is with you and barbecue. I can relate to your point of view, though. You know, especially starting off with the web of lies, because, you know, that's kind of like, you know, one of the most egregious sins I think someone can commit when you know you're dishonest and let someone believe something that's not true. You know, it's I don't know, it's not necessary. It's really off-putting, and you know, it is something that's going to spark anybody's ire, I think, because, you know, there's no understanding something like that. You know, you could come up with a million excuses. It's like, yeah, but, you know, didn't you respect me enough to think that I could handle it? Whatever. Soapbox time. Sorry. I love the attitude in the end, though, like Sweet mentioned, you know, kiss off. You know, that was a perfect ending for that. I thought it was great.
Thank you, Raconteur. Great comment.
And Hatter.
Yeah, Trap. Deb's mad. Hide the matches, right, Rock? Yeah. The lipstick thing at the end. was that? That's not the kind that is flavored. Is it flavored? Cause I remember it
checked it. I don't know. I went with the color carnation pink lip gloss grin. So I think I probably would have put cherry if it was flavored. Just saying.
I thought maybe it was the way Sweet recognized it, and I wasn't sure if Rack did, because I didn't. Thought it was a girl pink lipstick thing.
Well, pink, Sweet color.
I recognize pink as cotton candy. That's my thing.
Yeah, that's what I exactly. That's what I thought. The cotton candy.
Yeah,
I
always wore cotton candy pink.
The lip gloss.
Well, that's what this
that
her thing. Name was Terry Body. This chick's name was Terry Body, and she wore that stuff, and she was putting it on, and I said, "What is that?" And she said, "It's pink. It's what cotton candy lipstick or lip balm." I said, "Cotton candy? Why would they call it that?" And she says, "I'll show you." She wrapped her arms around me and gave me a big kiss. Yeah, cotton candy.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Hatter.
Oh, but
you're
welcome. Oh, it's fabulous. Oh, good God.
I put one on your show page too, so you can see it.
I know you did, but I'm going to have
Sky
read Kay while she's here. Yes, I've got you, Hatter. But
okay.
Before Sky has to go night-night. I'm going to steal it for Kay.
And I'm sorry, but I have to go. Have an amazing show like you always do, Sweet. We'll talk soon. Love and respect, everybody.
Okay. Bye. Thank you, Deb, for reading both poems.
Fly away.
Fly away.
So, Sky, do you mind reading Kay for me?
Yeah, that's fine. I don't mind. No.
Hi, Sweet.
Thank you.
Can I take a peek at it first? Am I reading her first?
Yes, you absolutely can. I was going to talk a little about topic, why I chose Trap, because I think
when you're all done, I'll be able to read it. I just like to read it once, if I may.
I know. Don't read me cold. I've been told. So
you back, Jack.
The concept of being trapped, because good God, the way you can be trapped physically, you can be trapped mentally, you can be trapped, in your mind's eye. I think financially, yeah, can't get out of it financially. And some people, like, the whole idea is, like, get up and leave. Go ahead, just leave. Well, you can't just get up and leave. I mean, people don't understand that. Like women or men that are in abusive situations, they're always like, well, they should just leave. Really, really, okay, that's so easy just to get up and leave. You can't get up. I mean, young women or even small children are trapped and they can't. And there's so many ways to just get trapped in your country, get trapped in what you know. Like, yeah, like people that are raised a certain way, they don't know that that's not normal.
Right.
I mean, that's why you have generations after generations doing the same thing, because they think that's normal. That's completely normal to them. I don't know. I've been blessed to, I don't know if it's blessed or awed by, or if you've ever been with a person that's come from a foreign country and they've walked into a United States grocery store and they've never seen a grocery store before, literally like walking into a magical fairyland, like it's never something they thought existed. They have never seen so much food in one place. For them to see literally a bushel of apples or bananas or anything, but to see all of that in one place, it's almost overwhelming. And we take it for granted every day. We would never even think.
Yeah, try to exploit all the cans and boxes that got food in them too. They would know.
Right. I mean, they don't, let alone to see all the meat. The meat freaks them out. I happen to have been...
The bakery.
Yeah, well, my parents happened to be interstate missionaries, and we took care of these... Now, I personally didn't care. My parents didn't take care of them. But just happened to be involved with them, and I don't know how we got involved with the people that were actually taking care of these people, but I was probably about 16 years old, and it just made an impact on me because these people were so awed, just absolutely awed by the things we had. And I was just like, yeah, whatever, it's just a freaking grocery store. But now that I'm older and I look back at their experience and my experience, I'm like, you know, you could just be trapped in that little part of the world and never know. And I'm thinking, my God, I don't, now that I know, how can I ever go back? And you know, there was like, how can you live in this? How can you live in this insanity? And I'm like, how could you live in the nothingness? So which one of us is trapped? You know? So it's just the whole possibility. So, I mean, where would you rather be?
Yeah, if you take that scenario and put it, and then take it all away, who's better off? One that seeks, gathers food for themselves every day, and that's part of their life. Because that's one thing we don't have any idea of what our great-grandparents or grandparents had to do. Every meal, they had to seek food. And that we didn't have no store to go to. My grandma told stories of the first time she walked into a supermarket, is what she called supermarket, because they were all farmers markets
right
at the time. It was just an outdoor thing, but to walk into a full first the frozen food section is what she was most amazed at. I never heard the same.
It's crazy.
Mind numbing.
I know.
Would you buy them? Would you buy them?
Like I said, I wasn't. I don't know what the people bought them. I was just like, I was just more like, are you kidding me? I really was. I was young and stupid. I was a smart ass teenager. I was like, yeah, whatever, you know. But like I said, now that I'm older and I look back, I'm like, what an idiot.
Where were they from?
I don't know. I don't know.
Oh,
somewhere
okay.
In Africa. At the time, Africa was one place. I didn't even realize it had different countries.
Continent,
I just wanted to make sure my butt looked good in my Jordache jeans. What did I know?
I think I would take, if I had that situation, I would take them to the bakery. I got something to show you. They've never seen anything like that. A chocolate cake. Oh, my God. It was all for you.
Like I said, it just kind of changes the world.
There's
different ways we trap each other. And then I think of, you know, if you want to go totally the other way, and you think of the Holocaust and being trapped in that. What are your final thoughts? What do you do? What horror is that?
Boss.
Jesus.
Get in the box.
Hey, I got AP coming online.
It's a trap.
Hello. It's a trap.
Sweet. How are you?
I'm good, AP. How are you?
I made Hatter a chocolate cake, but he was so under the weather that he didn't have any.
Oh, that's awful. How did you get sick in Australia?
He was jet-lagged. He was jet-lagged. He was so jet-lagged.
That was a delayed reaction a little bit. I thought I was flying.
I'm sorry.
Long trip. Nasty trip.
No.
You got to be pretty
jet-lagged.
It's chocolate cake.
AP, it was a bitch getting home.
I don't know.
It was worse trying to get home, AP.
It always is, Hatter. The trouble with getting home is, you know, there's not the excitement of actually getting to the place. You've been there, done that. And so that's all gone. You've just got to go back into, you know, what you knew before. And so I didn't want to tell you, but the jet lag of actually going home is much worse than the jet lag of getting there.
Yeah, I didn't have time to experience it. I was stuck in San Francisco for a full day and a half.
I heard that. Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
It's not,
all
not
right. Much. Sky is ready. So we are going to have Sky
UK. Guys.
Excellent.
Guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Guys.
And by the way, Brack, I did get your General Akbar joke, and I was actually going to say it. So thanks for giving me my thunder. But I don't think anybody heard you but me. This is Simplicity of the Garden, A Giving of Hands by Kay. A study in time, soft yellows to pastel raindrops, plummeting and shuddering evergreens, sepaling canning jars, powdering purple rouge crackling of hurricane glass trimming, sunflower seeds and providence, a nurturing to the bees' pollination. Shading betwixt tall stems of running from dad. Weeping brush, fields to touch. The table is dressed in homegrown gardening. Ribbon chestnut bronze breezing in. The yellow of days. A sifting and flowering trees neath sentinel guards. Sheltering the little girl. And pull.
I think that's gorgeous. I love the idea of sunflowers. Sunflowers are like one of my favorite flowers just because they literally rotate to the sun and sweep with the sun. They bow their heads. They go left. They go right. And the sentinel guards sheltering the little girl, I think that's beautiful just because they seem like they are guards. They seem like, you know, they stand tall and they watch and they move. And I like the, also the study in time, soft yellow pastel raindrops plummeting in, shuddering evergreens, sapling. There's something about the way Kay writes. I've gotten stuck, kind of in my mind, I'm starting to call her the ghost note, which is a note in jazz that is hardly heard, but without it, it's not the proper melody in music. And I that's a nickname in my head I've given her. She's my little bass note because she has this way of yelling in a whisper. And if you don't listen to what she says, you're missing out on something beautiful. And this is just another one of those. It's just sit there and listen to her words and the way she writes and, you know, a nurturing to bees pollination. I just sit there and I listen, and you can just kind of feel the sun on your face and listen, and you get some meaning from her. I really enjoy UK. I really enjoy your poetry. It's breathtaking. AP, what do you think?
Yes. I'm a big fan of sunflowers too. Love how they follow the sun as they go around. There's something quite cute about it. It's a great image. And I love the how we take the yellow of days, a sifting in flowering trees neath the sentinel guard, sheltering the little girl. It's a lovely, very comforting sort of way of finishing the poem, of actually talking about the sunflowers and their movement, and somehow that being something that we can see as being protective. It's very nice. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I agree. Guy, you read it, your thoughts?
I thought it was an excellent piece, and I like how she opens up, and I know that you mentioned a bit, but I like how she opens up a study in time, because it reminded me, in a way, of a study of time, but instead she worded it a little differently, but it reminded me of how often when we're older, we reflect on moments past, and almost study it in a way, when we're thinking it over and we're reliving moments and experiencing them all again through a different lens, I guess, because we're older and we're reflecting on it. So I really liked that, how she put that in there. The entire gardening metaphor I thought was brilliant, because she's speaking, obviously, when she says stems are running from dad. Of course, so it reminds me of youth. So the idea of the entire garden planting, growing, the foundation of that earth, and nurturing to the bees, pollination, that idea of all those seeds that are kind of, dug in holes and meant and nurtured to be able to grow like a sunflower. I really liked that metaphor, so I liked how she brought that in there. And then, of course, she has these beautiful words and language with the homegrown garden, women, chestnut bronze, breathing in the yellow of days. And when I think of the yellow days, of course, I think of the sun. So I think of those warmer moments. So I like how she didn't quite say that, but I'm still feeling that emotion by kind of connecting words through metaphor. Really well done.
Awesome. And what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like the sunflower picture in the right. Now, this was for, was this a hold over?
No, it's a memory. Something beautiful that she likes to be in.
Yeah, sunflowers, I agree with you. Sunflowers are quite a beautiful plant. You know what's better than a sunflower? A field of sunflowers. Have you ever walked in one? It's like magnetic. It's almost like you've got to go inside. You just got to get in there. It's weird. I like how the flowering trees neath Sentinel Guard sheltered the little girl. It's a good angle. What I got out of that last slide was the one thing a tall plant or tree, you'd think, well, that's wood, you build with it, but you don't think of it as shelter for a little girl. That was a great angle. In my head it was.
Yeah. And Rax, your thoughts?
I enjoyed her word choices in this in particular. Starting with just, gardening, because a garden can be, a vegetable garden or whatever. So what you're growing in your garden kind of speaks to this. And then she challenges a little bit of the conventional idea of a garden, I think, by talking about sunflowers and things like that. I mean, obviously it's not always going to be herb gardens or vegetable gardens, but to bring in the sunflowers and the trees and the shade and everything expands on the idea and the feelings. So she really played with that well throughout this whole piece and evoked a lot of emotion based on her word choices, I thought.
Absolutely. Now, AP, are you in a hurry or can I put Hatter up first?
No, go ahead. Hatter can go first. That's fine.
What? Okay. Oh, good to know. Well, he really wants to read his poem. I think he wants to have Sky listen to it. I think that's the whole gist of it.
Sky.
Let's see. It's all about that Sky girl. So. a hatter.
I got it up.
Oh, you already put it on the board? All right,
yeah.
You really do want to cast. All right, well, you really want to.
Okay, I'm trapped in the past, so it's called. Don't hold your breath.
All right.
Your face will stick that way. Okay, it goes like this. I thought I knew when it was to be you, but you changed the way you lie, dreaming around, turning me upside down, and I did not see the disguise. Staring to see if it could be me or someone from long ago, could you tell me, please, are you someone I should know? I'm trapped in the past with a love I once owned, a love I've learned to love alone. Turning to watch yesterday you leave, tell me, please, what did you see? Pieces of love shattered about, memories of you I can't live without. Stay out of my dreams.
Wow. Oh.
The anger.
Anger. I love the first couple lines. I thought I knew when it was to be you, but you changed the way you lie, dreaming around, turning you upside down. I did not see the disguise, but you changed the way you lie. Oh, man, that's brilliant. It's like a chameleon, like, turning himself into a wizard. That's really good. Stay out of my dreams. That was really good. And, of course, perfect headline and everything like that. But I like the just trapped in the past with a love I once owned. And now it's just gone, shattered. And yet they still want you to think that they can put the pieces together. Even though they don't want the pieces together, they just want you to believe they can put the pieces together. I just want to smack them.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Back into your thoughts.
Yeah, I like this hatter. You know, you people get under your skin sometimes, and you remember them a certain way, and it's very disconcerting to find out that you were wrong about them, or, you know, it was, and even worse to find out if it was intentional, you know. So to see them kind of change before your eyes is really, yeah, get out of my head, you know, the ideal, the rose-colored glasses, the thing that you dream about, the thing that you tend to remember is usually, you know, the way the experiences that you shared. So again, to find out that that's all, you know, false, it just totally destroys your image of someone and your memories of them and wrecks the picture. It's very poignant. I liked it a lot.
Thank you, Rack.
And AP, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the first stanza. And it is, yeah, I like perspective in it. Dreaming around, turning me upside down, I did not see the disguise. There's something beautiful about perspective in that first stanza. It's really neat.
Thank you.
Everybody say hello to Pretty Bird.
Hello, hello.
Hello, the bird.
Hello there. How are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Bird.
Did you hear? Did you hear? Hatter's verse.
I did not.
Oh, okay.
Read it again.
And I will ask. Well, it's like 2 seconds, but will you have, I'll have Sky comment then. Sky, comment.
Just about a second, please. I like how you kind of say, but you change the way you lie. And I think a clever liar often does change the way they lie, and they learn to manipulate, unfortunately. But I like the way that you put it, and it's kind of like you're the criminal because you're the one dreaming and you're putting this blame on them, but it's also partial, you know, they're coming into your dream and it's your own mind kind of betraying itself by not letting you let this person go. And I really liked that about it, that duality where there's actually kind of two people at fault, your mind and your heart not being able to, you know, say no more, and then obviously this person who's done some kind of damage. And I like the last line and how it's displaced, and of course you had that little stem of anger, even in your voice when you read it, like, stay out of my dreams, like, you know, stop giving me hope where there is none. I thought it was an excellent piece.
Because I'm an angry poet. Thank you.
An angry poet. Yeah. All right.
I'll talk to you later. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I know that you're trying to get me out at 11. Yeah, I know you're trying to get me out at 11, and I appreciate that. I'm actually not going to work. I can't stay too late, but AP can read before me. I'm actually going camping, and I'm leaving tomorrow, so I don't mind staying.
I was
going
to say, because I put you up because I know you have to go to bed.
I do.
But AP,
I do appreciate that.
If you have to read.
Yeah.
AP, if you have to read, that's fine. You can throw your poem up.
Okay.
Guy doesn't have to go to bed.
So I sort of was rolling along and had a bit of a roll at it. Sweet, see what you think. This is beavers and rivers. Far too few poems about beavers, I find. So I'm trying to sort of resolve that. And it is up on the board. Now, it goes like this.
Okay.
It can seem difficult to reach our potential, seen obstacles and barriers placed true, as beavers hold a river dammed and still instead of moving with a vibrancy through. Left, we flay at those pieces of lumber trying to dislodge while flows still brew. The more we work, the muscles asunder, even more stuck by the questions too. Indeed, complex to sway others' opinions, their sweep is beyond few waves skew. Close upon are their damning minions. You feel sapped and left brewing to stew. An answer for this conundrum lies near. Once momentum lost, our waters accrue. It is this weight we must guide when we steer ocean's command to a direction beyond blue. Perspectives gives a path through the barriers, especially if a boat is diverted by a noisy few. When logs you dislodge as batarias to lie trapped, often fall damningly to you in poem.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Damn.
Is it difficult to reach our potential? As beavers halt a river dam spilled. So who are the beavers, and why are they damming us? It's very metaphorical.
Thank you. I like metaphors.
I do, too. That's why I'm like, this is quite heavy with metaphors. This is one of your very... You haven't written so metaphorically in a while on me, you know.
I know.
Close up are their damning... Minion.
I thought Minions was beautiful.
What a conundrum! What a conundrum to come to me with your beaver problem, AP.
Yeah.
You feel sapped and left brewing to stew. Once momentum lost, stale waters accrue. This is quite the problem. Because all oceans come from river waters. So if everything is blocked up, you're not going to have an ocean. You're not going to feel like ready to roar and ready to go. And I mean, this is definitely a complex poem for me. And it's like you're plugged up and you can't move and everything is stopping you. And how can you be a mighty ocean if you can't be a flowing river? And it's got me thinking that, you know, somebody's trapping their inner being. And you know, I really like this poem because it just, it's literally like if the smallest mud puddle is not
able to move forward, then nothing moves forward. Literally, you have to make sure that someone doesn't stop you so that you can flow through and be the greatest of what you're supposed to be. And metaphorically, this is brilliant. But then on the other metaphorically side of it, it's quite dirty. But that's just for my brain. AP. But anyway, Freebird, your thoughts.
You know what? Sometimes they are our own worst enemies, right? Absolutely. Absolutely love this. From the very beginning, it's, you know, I love how, you know, you open us up with, you know, it's hard to reach our potential, which kind of puts it in our own hands, you know, because it's up to us to reach whatever goals we set forth for ourselves. And we're usually the ones that end up putting those barriers in place that are held there by those wayward opinions and those damning minions that want to wall you up and brick you in and make you doubt everything, and you try as best as you can, but it's like, but you can't move anything and you're exhausted. And then come those questions of, is it really worth it? Should it be this hard? What the hell am I doing anyway? And I think that you carry this metaphor beautifully, 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 beautifully. And at the end, where it's perspective gives a path through barriers. And then, you know, when you a couple of lines after that, when it's when logs you dislodge as the terriers, you know, first of all, love that word. Love that word for, you know, laziness and sloth and whatnot. Love that word. But again, we are our own worst enemies. You know, take a step back, take a look at it, then, you know, walk around it a little bit, see if you can you can traverse those little trickles in between those areas to get to a better place. But yes, it's exhausting, and sometimes it just doesn't feel like it's worth it, and we're our own worst enemies. And, you know, I could be completely, absolutely wrong, but that's what it read like to me, and I loved it.
Thank you, Fred. I've now put a little sketch attached to it, too, if you refresh.
Oh, good God. Please don't make me laugh. Ragatour, your thought.
I love the metaphor in this. The idea of the beaver and the dam and, you know, that word. And then you even managed to get dislodge, you know, a beaver lodge.
Thank you.
Lodge and hidden in there a little bit, but not so hidden. I want to quip about you pelting us with the metaphor, but you know, I really enjoyed it. The idea, the whole duality of the idea, the construction that they do to redirect, you know, the flow of things and kind of shape the world in their own will. And it's a brilliant metaphor. It really is. And, you know, we could sit and think on this for a long time. I think, like Sweetie said, you know, that there's a lot of layers to it. But, you know, I find them interesting animals. I really do.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you.
Shai, your thoughts, please.
Sorry, I was typing away. So Pretty Bird kind of went where I was going, but I'm going to go there anyway. I'm like, come on, me! It reminded me, I couldn't agree more with the previous commenters, by the way. And I love that you caught that rack with the beavers and the launch, because I didn't catch that. I thought this was done wonderfully, and it reminds me of that thing, you know, when you wake up and you say, I'm going to have a great day, and you tell yourself that. No matter what happens, you're going to have a great day, you're going to have a great day, because no matter what comes at you, you're ready to think of things out of the box to get the outcome that you want. And when you come down all the way down at the ending, which was my favorite part,
And you talk about, where was it? And the weight of, in this weight we must guide when we steer ocean's command to a direction beyond the blue. That isn't the one I wanted, but part right here. You feel sapped and left brewing to stew. I like that play on words, but I also like that because it reminds me, if you say someone's brewing and they're stewing over, they're letting that anger, they're letting whatever trying to get to them, whatever's trying to make them feel trapped and broken, they're just brewing and stewing. And you hear that? I've heard that term before, but you kind of rearrange the words and put it in a new way, and I really like that. And then when you come down to the ending, I think that's really when you get to it. Like, perspective gives a path through barriers. You know, how are you going to look at this? Are you going to kind of let a few people ruin everything and kind of make you feel trapped, or are you going to try to find ways around them and find ways around that barrier and try to, you know, I guess, paddle your way out? And I think that's quite brilliant, really well done.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you.
And Hatter, your thoughts on the beaver?
Wally's being a little hard on the beaver.
That was a great show. Hatter.
It was.
Hatter.
Shit, I'm talking the whole time. Sorry, I was talking the whole time. I had like 12 different places of what I was going to comment on, because I figured you guys would pick up a lot of those, and check mark, you took them all except one. You're like, which was the line of the whole poem: perspective gives a path through barriers. But Sky grabbed you right before, if you heard that, my little comment when you brought it up. But that's a great a line. In the following rhyming line, terriers, what is, dislodged as but terriers?
Those people who sort of stick around and don't do much and sort of act as blockers. Hatter, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Great metaphors.
All sorts of levels, and huh? you've sort of picked up a few of them, which is kind of nice, you know. It's cool.
Well, yeah, I tend to write about worlds myself.
No, I wouldn't write about that subject unless I was meaning that there was a perspective about that as well. So, you know, but
yeah,
we're a 13 child.
No,
can't say
anything.
My
innocent, you know, man who takes over the world.
No. I'm just going to let it flow by with the waters, so to speak. Sweet.
That's right. The rest of us will behave like we're 13-year-old girls. That's okay.
No. I am going to disappear stage left. Lovely
all
to
right.
hear you all. And have a great show, sweet. I will find
you
soon, I'm sure.
Tell everybody at Gorgie's High. Tell everybody at Porgie's High.
Oh yeah.
What was that?
The Frederick Porgy, sell high from California.
Yes, I will. Yes. Your favorite cafe. You've made friends with everybody there. They all know you.
Yep, they do know me.
Thank
you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Well, you're up after that, Guy.
Thank you. I really thought that you would let guys like that on the board. Totally a real word, not just making stuff up. But
I love that word, by the way. Especially with that poem, it was like, oh,
it's
Lord.
Also the name of one of my favorite books.
Karn?
Anyone? No, The Fingersmith. Mm.
The Fingersmith.
Oh.
By Sarah Waters. Yes, it's a great book. Anyway.
Never doubt Sky.
Oh, Sky. Did you get the text I sent you about this is what we love, Mrs. Sky Holm?
like a text on my phone? Or
I sent it to you a couple of days ago. And it's worth looking into. I did it with Pretty Bird.
Oh,
you helped it.
I looked through some of them. I'm sorry. I never texted you back. I'm sorry. I did look at a couple, and then I didn't. I'm sorry. I'm a terrible person.
Number one, they're hysterical, Sky. Number two, Hatter, you're cracking me up.
All right. Okay, I'm going to read. I'm sorry. I will look through your text more thoroughly when I'm camping.
You will love them. Okay.
Between the lines. Go ahead. Between the lines.
Christopher Robin. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, we're not going Christopher Robin here. This has a couple Stephen King quotes at the bottom. I thought you'd appreciate that. And, of course, I mean, you're bringing all these dark topics to your show.
I know, yeah.
So I thought we'd like this one. It's okay. This one's Salvage in the Tarn by Sky Garfield. There is a cemetery of paper leaves, white bones that gape in the dark, with wide mud eyes and half-skin smiles, toe-tag bodies hurled in a rough horsehair coffin, souring brushes that bait worms and hook hope belly side up. This is where I go to bury thrice broken branches, thin dying branches, heavy with dew-like grief, where the lockjaw of dreams expose missing teeth and spit out a black skin of chewing tobacco. I sleep, fragmented, watching tiny needles float atop the water, and remember, they all float down here. All those what could have and might have been, a scatter of sepia spines, catching gray reflection. I am a pallbearer of my own invisible self, not quite dead and not quite buried, rather thrown to those paper leaves, hoping to be rekindled or set alive. Instead, I only collect them, blue mouth and thinking of rot. End quote.
Wow.
Jeez.
Wow. Wow. You know what I find most intriguing about the whole thing is, okay, so this is something that is very, yeah, that is true. It catches something very odd and personal for me because I'm not quite dead and not quite buried. I am a pallbearer of my own invisible self. So for my entire life, I've always, like, invisible. I'm invisible. I'm not here. I'm actually invisible. Because you fade into the background. You always fade into the background, fade into the background. And having been surrounded by males all my life, especially my brother, it's like you do the male thing, you do the male thing. So I've always been invisible to me. And, you know, that line just totally, like, picked me up and threw me against the wall. This is so, there's such a depth to this that I think it resounds with a million people that, you know, that saying where I just stand in a room and scream and nobody would hear me but me, that feeling that's so hard to say sometimes when people feel that I have something to say that I don't believe anybody will listen. And I think you just put it out there. You put it so eloquently in with grace. I think it's beautiful. And that's been
I think Hatter wants to say something.
Hatter, you comment now.
Everybody has over here. I'm sorry, but in this way a bit. I must. I think this is one of the best short line rhyme, short line poems I've read. These metaphors, one right after the other, the wordage in them, wide mud eyes, half skin smiles, toe tag bodies, horsehair coffins,
see, there's more. Do Like Grief. Lockjaw of Dreams. This is wonderful. It's going on a list.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And Rackentor, your thoughts?
I really enjoyed this, Sky. From the opening line of cemeteries, that idea of it's almost like the repository for where you're keeping all your memories. And you start with cemetery, and then you throw in coffins and other visuals that relate back to that idea. You carry it through the metaphor of it really wrote to the prompt of being locked in your mind, locked in your head, and you played with it so well. I just enjoyed it very much.
Thank you, Rack.
And pretty good yourself. Ooh, I am bringing up the rear. Oh, Sky. You have this way of gliding on those almost forgotten whispers of a nerve that just want to make me cry. And I'm glad I went last because I probably would have. And you know how I hate blubbering on air, for Pete's sake, woman. So before I get into all of the deliciousness, I'm just going to say that down here, when you're all watching the pine needles float atop that water, my mind went, poo sticks, because I swear that looks like Christopher Robin. But that aside, this breaks me. In all honesty, it breaks me. Because it touches on those parts of us that we don't let people see, that we don't want to look at ourselves. And it is this, this is where I go to bury thrice broken branches and those like little branches of hope, those little olive branches, and those little, how many times can you reach out your hand to have it smacked away? How many times can those branches break before you just stop reaching for them? And I love that. I do. And they're thin, and they're dying, and they're heavy with too light grief. Good. Because it breaks you. The lockjaw of dreams exposes missing teeth. You know, when you are younger or when dreams are new at whatever age, they are like Christmas. It's all hope and possibility. It's all, here is the shiny thing. Now I need to carve my way through to get there. And when you can't get past certain parts of how to get there, and that dream starts to desiccate, but it hasn't lost all of its luster. It's no longer paths to it, and you see those blacked out teeth, those missing places in the future that look like a smile, and you just like, you have two lines of like the most fabulous emotional imagery. It's just gorgeous, like gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. I am a pallbearer of my own invisible self. And how often do we self-isolate? How often do we not want to share our burdens? We're there for other people to share their burdens too. I'm here. If you need me, I'm here. But sometimes it's really difficult to need somebody because it's a hard thing to concede that you need somebody, especially if you are a strong person that is used to holding everybody else up. And then you shrink. What you want shrinks. What your hopes are shrink. Everything about what you think of yourself shrinks. And you still have hope at the end of this. You know, hoping to be rekindled or set alive. Burn this shadow of me down to the ground and rebuild me anew, like the phoenix that you could be. And I absolutely love that. Even though it ends with, you know, blue mouth and stinking of rot, I still see the hope in that. and that, you know, this is what I want. I'm dying, but I still want. And that is, you know, the insanity and painfulness of hope. And it is beautiful.
Thank you for your prayer. And thank you for
your
understanding the poem so well. Thank you.
I love the way you write. You're awesome. I love the way she writes, too. I think it's amazing.
I actually, I'm not going to lie, Pretty Bird, I shared your SoundCloud with somebody the other day, like 2 weeks ago. I was like, yeah, listen to this person.
I hope like, they met like I usually do. Like a particular SoundCloud, or you just like let them loose on my page?
Go. I think I sent them a specific one. I mean, but they could be setting loose. It's my best. She's my best friend of 20 something years. So she's okay. She won't be
what
a
stalker.
If she won't be a, you won't be a stalker. And if she was a stalker, you would not be.
I'm not opposed to people stalking my actual poetry, just, you know, stalking my actual person. So we're good.
Hey, Skye, the other night you mentioned something about a piece that I had, and it was hard to read because of a background.
Oh, the white on white.
I have some. Yeah, see, I don't see that. I don't know. Yeah, I don't see it. I wanted to explain it.
But it's probably not for anybody else, Patrick. My eyes, I have a hard time seeing when one color is on the same color. It's not even the white on white. If any color is on the shade of a lighter color, my eyes just blend those colors together. It doesn't matter if it's blue on light blue or red on light. They blend. So it was probably just me, Patrick.
Well, no, and that's funny. I want you to know that I don't see that. So sometimes I don't check the backgrounds, and sometimes Deborah says it's sort of inappropriate. So I just wanted to explain that I don't see my backgrounds. So I just refuse to look at them.
Yep. Okay. So this is my trapped poem where I always feel trapped, where you always have to be perfect in a world where no one is perfect. This is White Dove Burn Black Wing Ashes, and it's an older poem, and it's just the way I think people see people. Slow drag on unfiltered cigarettes, keep my mouth dirty, drinking whiskey straight to wash it down, overweight on anxiety and snacking on rage. What gives you the right to judge my attitude, to make me hold your hand and speak of my gratitude? I am the thunderstorm, tired pretending to see rainbows, load the rifles, I'm hunting wild unicorns. White doves burn, black wing ashes, float in the silent winds of hope's laughter, burns my eyes behind rose-colored glasses. Cinderella dreams exchange dried elbows and scrub the softness from brown eyes. Teardrop stained the carpet burns below my knees. Yesterday attacks day, ask a lover who's been betrayed to appreciate the falling of the sun, the rising of the moon. Not the exception, but the broken rule, icicles forming in the firestorm, dancing barefoot on a bed of nails. Alabaster masterpiece vandalized, kindergarten graffiti stained, split, divided, Megan's face. Invisible and alone, battered and worn, in a family where blood is thicker. Beware, then drink it. It shows. Okay.
You know what, woman? Overweight on anxiety and snacking on rage. First of all, that is delightfully dark. And second of all, that is not comfort food. Just, you know, you need to know that. Now, but how brilliant that we get so, our brains get bloated where there is no space for facts to not hold emotion, where we are in that space and we can't get out of it. And there's no room for anything else. There's no room for logic. There's no room for, they're like passing little thoughts, and we do it to ourselves. And sometimes it's out of our control. Sometimes we just do it to ourselves because, you know, sometimes we just need to stew a little bit in our own juices to get through things, you know. And but I like how most of this poem is pretty much bite me, you know? And there's a strength, and I am the thunder sword. Tired of pretending to see rainbows, load the rifles. I'm hunting wild unicorns, and I'm just like, kill the bitches in my head, because it takes a lot to go from being held down from where are those rug burns? They're down here somewhere. where, you know, you are tired of kissing ass, trying to, pardon my French, I'm just all over the words today, where it is very much placating people because everybody's a little snowflake and everybody gets a trophy and everybody is special. And so nobody really is. I mean, when that mindset, in my, you know, unpopular opinion, but how many times do we have to cater to everybody else when nobody caters to us and they don't care? I'm just saying, that's just, you know, a hard, you know, an unfortunate truth of how things often look. But when you get down here, when you're talking about ask a lover who has been betrayed to appreciate the falling of the sun or the rising of the moon, because you know what? When you're in pain, that shit doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how beautiful it is. It doesn't matter that it's a daily miracle. It doesn't matter. Alabaster masterpiece vandalized. You know, there is nothing like broken trust and that kind of innocent hope that we all enter relationships with, because if it's not that kind of innocent hope, it's really not worth entering in a relationship, because if you're already starting gray, it's really not a far fall to black. But when that is stained and smudged, and you can only erase so much, but you can still see the eraser marks, and it doesn't go away. And that is just beautifully, beautifully jagged. And I just love this. And when you get to the bottom, where it's pretty much, you know, it's those closest to you that do the most harm, you know, we're kinder to strangers than we are to the people that we should be kinder to, you know? And I just love this. I love how vivid it is. It is raw and like you clawed your skin off and there it is, watch me bleed and kiss my ass. And I love it because there's a lot of pain, but there's equal amounts of moxie and like only you can do. So I can talk for 10 minutes. I'll shut up now. So Sky, what are your thoughts?
She makes me go after the comment like that. this is wonderful. And, you know, touching on this, I'm going to do this way out of order, so please forgive me. But the way that you touch on a family where the blood is thicker everywhere, don't drink it, you'll choke. I think that it's so powerful. When you hear that term, blood is thicker than water, I loved how you I've heard that phrase before, not quite that way, but I loved how you followed up with one that I haven't really, beware, don't drink it, you'll choke. Just that really bite, that really bite at the end. And as someone who treasures much of my family who isn't my blood, I understand that, and I know that. And I think more people often than not do understand that, because there's so many toxic relationships and toxic interwoven family situations. And I think sometimes we forget that. We forget, wait a minute, hold on. Why am I allowing you into my life? Why? Because I have to, because I owe you something, because you're my family, you're my blood. And sometimes it's really hard to love ourselves more and say, no, I'm not doing this anymore. I think there is a bitter bite to that. And I think you hit it on the nail on the head with the you'll choke. I really love that. Going further back up, I did say I was going to do this out of order. The Cinderella dreams exchange for dried elbows, and the idea of silent words, hopes, laughter burns my eyes behind rose-colored glasses. Because as someone, I could relate to so many pieces of this. and I usually don't usually say reflect on that, but I am going to say, as someone who tends to be a little bit naive to people that aren't very kind, because I want to see the kindness in them, or I just do. I don't know what it is, but I often am naive, and it takes sometimes other people to say, oh, no, that is not, they're not a great person, Bonnie Jean. They're not. And I usually need another person to tell me that, and unfortunately, and then I start to say, oh, yeah, or I forgive people too many times, and it's so hard when they're the ones that are supposed to love you. And so your peace is very powerful in that instant, where you keep on looking, you keep on grasping, you keep on hoping that someone or something is going to be better, and they never measure up. And they're, you know, there's a sadness in that. Really well done, sweetie. I really like this one.
Thank you. I'm really surprised the two of you haven't read this. I just noticed that. I'm like, what? What is that? Poem, paper, or
remember
sky
when
I haven't read?
Remember when I went through your page and I read probably about 20 pages in a row? I just read your poetry for like 2 weeks. I don't know.
And Rag and Tour, your thoughts?
Yeah, every line that you quoted when you commented, Pretty Bird, I'm cursing at you. From the very first snacking on rage, I was like, I hate you. And then the thunderstorm line, I'm like, okay, now I really hate you. And then you even grabbed the alabaster. I'm like, you know, well, what's kind of left to say? I mean, you like everybody said, you know, you clawed yourself apart. And, you know, I think the thing that Sky touched on, you know, it's like when someone's an asshole and you don't want to see that they're an asshole, you know, it's like, you know, someone kind of has to call your attention to it. There's so much emotion and feeling in this and you know, but this is almost to me like, you know, what little self-esteem you have, somebody's chipping away at it. And you know, you're taking exception to that. You're like, no, I'm not giving that up. And there's a beauty in that, and that just, you know, speaks to me of who you are. You know, this is very, you know, like I call the little your folder signature suite. You know, it's you. It really speaks to me of who you are, and you know how I think of you, and you know they just don't deserve you, and I'll leave it at that.
Thank you.
I concur. And Hatter, what are your thoughts?
Well, nobody's get down and dirty like Sweets. You destroyed in just about every institution there is. I applaud you. I love the slow drag on unfiltered cigarettes. You know, great line. Gotta see what this is about. Keep my mouth dirty, drinking whiskey. Yeah. I am the thunderstorm trying to pretend to be rainbows like ripe loads of rifles. I'm hunting wild unicorns. All good.
Thank
your elbow in Cinderella. You're welcome.
Back to you, my sweet. All right. Pretty Bird.
Yes, love.
Throw your palm up there. You are next.
A or B?
A.
Oh, there's no thing in this one, which is unfortunate. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Okay, it is on the board, and this is the fishbowl of my mind houses untamed sharks. It goes like this. Infinity stretches between the now and the then, but between the then and the now lives the laugh that rains music. If only I caught it in a cup, I could still taste the sound. Between the then and the now kisses scarred rosebuds on my into a new baseline for passion, young have grown too cold to burn. Between the then and the now lives proof of my weakness and hope that deep wounds don't have to be fatal. Between the then and the now hangs the lyrics I understood far too late to make a difference. Mashed and remixed that reads, how does it feel to know I wasn't lost until I found you? Infinity stretches between the now and whatever the then is. Until then, I can still taste the sound in scarred rosebuds, proof of my weakness, far too late to make a difference. And pause.
I love you. I love the way you write, the way you read. I love the between the then and the now, and the now and the then, and everything that happens. This is scarred where it lays buds on my skin until a new baseline surpasses. Now I've grown too cold to burn. Infinity stretches between the now and whenever, the then is until then. I could still taste the sound and scared those rose buds speak of my weakness, far too late to make a difference. Oh, how untrue. From now until the end and to the end of nowhere. From Dante's hell to Christ's heaven, you will make a difference. I don't care if you even speak the words of an angel, because God knows you are.
Okay, so what did you say? What did you say that?
Listen, I held off my tears and blubbering for Sky. Do not make them come forth now, woman.
Yeah, leave that to me.
I'm just saying, there's just nothing. I mean, you have the voice of an angel, the pen of David. I just don't see how then and now. You are the spirit of reality between the curtain of time. You will always make it.
Well, now I'm just going to have to download the show and save it forever.
So, let us go to Reckontor and let him tell you too.
Oh, I'm just going to continue to heap praise upon her. I mean, wow. It's not enough that, you know, bookending is a literary device, but you twist the then and now into something similar. And I mean, you use the music metaphor throughout this in a way that's so poignant. It's just haunting. You know, you're talking about someone, you know, being mad at themselves and trapped in their own head, but, you know, you trying to interpret it and seeing things and wondering if you're seeing what you're seeing. And, I mean, there's so much in this that's just brilliant. I mean, and then, of course, you know, you don't just use musical metaphors. You take a line and you sing it, you know. So there's that on top of everything else. You know, it's haunting, you know, and it's why you've got the followers that you have, and, you know, that you're published and all those other fun things that, you know, check out our page, people. and apparently, you know, she's got a SoundCloud page that you could stalk too.
Well, thank you guys. You're awesome.
Listen, fangirling isn't stalking.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Deva, this, that. 27 ways to be sexual being. Remember that. I'm sorry, Sky. Your thoughts?
I was running around. I thought after you read, I was very, you know, sitting put while you were reading. I just want to say first, thank you for, you know, the way that you give yourself on every read, sometimes I find it hard to give myself, even when a poem is very personal or even when I feel very emotional towards a poem, it is really hard to give yourself every time you read to that emotion. Because when you get to it, and when you read like that, it's hard to maintain your voice or your calm, and you don't know what's going to happen. And that's a scary thing, and I know that because sometimes I read poems, and I'm so restrictive in how I read, and I practice it. And it's because I guess I'm not that open all the time about being able to just kind of lose that control and read and bear that much. And I have to say, every time you read, it doesn't matter what it is, you could hear that you're giving yourself completely to the poem. You don't care if it's messy or, you know, has imperfections, or that you might get a little too emotional in it. You just give that. And that is, I really appreciate that about your spoken word. On that note, this is wonderful. Bracken totally hit on it. I love that you started singing in the middle of it. I'm like, what's happening? I love that you kept going back. I'm like, what's happening? I love it. I don't know what's happening. I've read this one before. I know I have. I'm not really sure why it's not on my recommended list, but it's fixed now. I love the refrain of the between then and now, and how you go back and forth between this emotional back and forth here, and the idea of fishbowl, kind of going around and around a fishbowl, repeating that same thing, and then having the refrain being between then and now, I think is just absolutely brilliant. The kiss of scarred rosebud on my skin, the way that you bring that in, and that what is it, the third stanza, and then you also kind of bring it in towards the end, but you keep that metaphor and then bring it down at the end, and then you speak of stitches between the now and whatever the then is, whatever that then is, until then, meaning it's not even complete, it's not even over, and it's still going to continue, and in your mind, it is infinite, and that's a very powerful thing. And then when you land us on, again, you book, and I'm going to kind of steal what Rack said on that too, because I agree, that bookend of those rosebuds scarring, proof of all those weaknesses, all those things that we give away when we're vulnerable to someone else, and we're kind of never able to get those things back, and it's too late to even ask for them back, because they're given already. And the thing about this poem, it seems that they're still being given, and there doesn't seem to be an end on that. I thought it was a wonderful poem. Excellent. Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. You're also the woman, and I will not ever forget this. You are the woman that on the very first show of a March a few years back, the first show that like Lady A did a tribute show or whatever for me, and it was not too long after my mom died, and you made me read a poem about my mother, and I, like, lost my crap, but it's fine.
I just loved it. Sorry. I know. A lot of people made you – I'm going to tell you something, and I'm sorry, sweet. I know I'm talking a lot. I'll shut up right after this. A lot of people I noticed
– You're fine.
I actually felt how bad after I felt, because I noticed how many people put poems that are incredibly, I would imagine, hard to read. And then I didn't look at, when I dropped my poem, I didn't look at everybody else's. And when I started seeing what everybody else was posting, I'm like, oh, this poor woman. But it just shows you how powerful your work is. Like, when people are putting one after another, that is so, I mean, I felt that. I'm not going to look. By the end of the show, I was like, somebody needs to give this girl a break.
Well, you know, it's not like I didn't write this stuff. I don't do pretty little words. I do evisceration because I purge all my pain. It's fine.
You went with the odds, Sky. And no matter what you would have picked, would have wound up being emotional because it's all emotional.
This is true.
Sky, I've been trying to describe that with what you first said about Pretty Bird's writing and how she reads it. And I've been trying to say that. I've been doing a poor job trying to get anybody to understand me because that made no sense at all. But that's exactly what I've been trying to say. I can't remember what you came on with. when he reads it. It's like an anticipation of the next line. You said it best. But Sweets, when you were going down, you said something about Plato and Socrates or Plato and Homer. I go, where the hell was that?
Yeah.
Where
the... No, that's just how she thinks I write it. It wasn't in the poem.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this about the two poets that were just, you know, praising each other and how, you know, their words are. I will say that those two women, Will Sky and Pretty Bird, are people that inspire me and all of that. But I will also say they were two poets that had to have their asses kicked to be where they're at.
You
put in the work, but thank you. You know, you flattened me those buzzes many times.
Hail to the bus driver.
Read some sensual stuff on the radio, which is amazing because she's Guy's sensual is amazing. I beg her all the time to read it.
Oh, don't even get me started.
Amazing. Oh my God. And I love the way you read your sensual. And Pretty Bird, you are just busted out rock star status. So I love it.
Robin, we love you kind, and I love you for it.
12 o'clock at night? I need to start staying up late.
We need to have Google conference where we can have our cameras on. So same
I love you two guys so much, and thank you for enriching my life, along with Brackenshire, along with Jay Hattis, along with everybody that's ever been on the show. You guys are just amazing people. So. And look who's chiming in.
Amadeus.
I didn't hear a bell.
But I have got to get two more poems in. So, you guys would like to tap on Mr. Infinite Destruction so I can tap his recording. That would be lovely. Are we all ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Deborah, are you in the studio?
I am.
Do you want me to have this recording?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, please.
It won't go.
I thought it was me.
So here it goes.
Tapophobia. Ghastly. The scene ye awaken within. Last view ye remember, 'tis not akin. Why art thou enclosed by planks wooden, and the scent of dull earth doth ye liest in? True question doth beg, where beeth the light? Such darkness wouldst indeed devour the night. Nay, silence more, be it the beastly blight. Still ye have failed to see the truest fright. The heat of body death had ye approached. Under slumber ye let thyself be coached. And from thy bed thy flesh has been poached. Which guilty friend or foe dares such reproach? Ye fumble in this void in dire despair, and hope is there, though thou art unaware. Ye catch a wall and claw with standing hair. Woe, indeed, thy fruitless attempts aught bear. But wait, a string? Yes, a string thou hast found. Pull that string, the harebell chiming resound. Some soul should hear thee from thy resting mound, and mayhaps wrench thee from that cold, hard ground. So ye pull and pull with great fervor more. Alas, it seems though thy hope hast been tore. alone in silent solace like before. Ye lay there now, awaiting death's dark shore. And so she now cometh in winged glory, for 'tis the end of thy tragic story.
Okay, that is just wicked. Oh. I really like this dude. He's just really good at the dark. And ghastly 'tis the scene ye waken within. Last ye remember 'tis not akin. Why art thy enclosed by blanks wooden? And the dull sense of earth done ye lie in. The thought of being buried alive is a thought no one probably enjoys. I mean, I don't think any of us wake up in the morning and go, oh, God, I hope I get buried alive today. That's not exactly something any of us want. I can't even imagine. I just don't even want to. Oh, total creep out. But he does it so well. And, yes, that string they used to keep in coffins in case you did wake up. Yes. Oh, you pull and pull and pull on that string. Yet no one comes. No one comes to get you. But someone with winged glory, was it the devil, was it a saint? Because nobody came and got her out of that coffin, now did they? Oh, so well done. So well done. That is definitely being trapped. That's taken trapped to a whole different level. But very, very, very well done. Oh, Hatter, your thoughts? Hatter, take yourself off of mute. Hatter went away.
Mister.
How about
Hatter dropped.
Hi, your thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I was getting this whole Christopher Lee vibe. I was like, oh, my God. I don't know if this guy has a YouTube, but I would stalk his YouTube page. This was wonderful. I loved the dark, the depth. His soulful read is absolutely brilliant. I read a lot of older poetry. I read a lot of poetry in general, like off of AP. and Rack knows. But I do read a lot of where people might say, like, you know, with language such as this. And I will say it is not easy, especially now, because it's not common. So when you're reading things like that, and it's an adjustment to read, but it's even more of an adjustment to write, because and even if you read a lot of it, and I do, it's still very difficult to approach. I thought, and with that said, it's a fine line of approaching it poorly. You know, you can go the other way pretty quickly, and I don't see it often done, I guess I would say, on AP. And sometimes people just kind of dip in with their toes, and they do like some, they pick like one, like thou or thy, probably more common phrases. And then everything else is kind of the same. It's kind of like current language, but then every now and then. A lot of times that's what I see. This, he like dived in absolutely brilliantly. I really enjoyed it. Because he didn't just pick the one or two words out of that old English language. It was strewn wonderfully throughout. Through hope, be it. I loved how he put that in there. And he stuck to those. I'm a slant rhymer. I have a preference to slant rhyme because I think I just can't true rhyme. I think it's just my disguise. I can't do it, so I just don't. So I say I like slant rhyme. But in older pieces that are like tuned to this way, they're very much true rhyme centered. And he did this again very wonderfully. And I think there's almost a simplicity in the way that older things are written, and you see, and Pretty Bird will probably back me up here, you see a lot of these wonderful poets, and they rank a one or a zero. I think Pretty Bird just touched on that, right? Because of the language, it's just it's different, and I like that he keeps true to that, because there is such a beauty, and I think that it's worth more than people might put a coin on when people are writing their own poetry here. And I'm rambling. I really like the poem. Great job. I don't know why I'm rambling today.
That's like, it was ramble worthy.
I really enjoyed it.
Yes. And Pretty Bird?
You know, it's funny how you're all excited and because I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Destruction, you're fabulous. This is wonderfully dark, and I'll get into the poem in a second. But because it's so that old language is so prevalent all the way throughout, it kind of disconnects me from the story a little bit because I have to work around the meaning of things. Not because it's hard to understand, but because you have to put yourself in the mindset to be in that place to you know what I mean? It because it is so archaic, it's not something that, for me, my mind is used to connecting to, because it reminds me of things that I had to learn in English, and I really hated that literature class. Not that I hate your poem, because your poem is fabulous and delightfully dark. And like I said about Sweet, it is, you know, there's something to be said. If you're going to put that belt in there for your dad, you need to have somebody stand watch, because otherwise this is what can happen. A sad tale. But, you know, when you have that fear that, you know, people, for whatever illnesses, you know, are, you know, near death, and some people do come to, or, you know, some people pass out, they're like, well, let's just bury them before embalming, and they knew they were dead. I mean, it happened more than you would like to admit, you know? Oops, you weren't quite there. I'm sorry. And then to go through all the trouble to be in there in your panic zone, and you're like, it's the string, and you're yanking that sucker, and everybody's out to dinner because, you know, it's after the funeral and people got to eat. And that is, it is a scary, scary thought. It's enough to almost make you claustrophobic if you're not, because when you put yourself in that scenario, in that worst case scenario, there almost isn't room for your chest to rise, to breathe enough through your anxiety, which causes more anxiety. So I kind of love the way it felt, and your SoundCloud is excellent entertainment value. You did a great job. And so I found it a very, very delightful, 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 unfortunate scenario.
What happened?
Well, I'm going to assume it's your turn, Rack. Are you muted, Sweet?
It sounds that way.
Sorry. Yes. So, Rack and Tor, you are up. And all we need to do is push your button. All right. Rack, here we go.
What Nothing Looks Like by Rack and Tor. I close my eyes and look within, blotting out all distractions. I ponder exactly what I see. Why can't you see what I see? In the mirror of my mind, reflections can't lie. The emptiness overwhelming me. I'm drowning in a sea of people looking through me, treating me like flotsam as I attempt to turn ripples into waves, swept away with the tide, grasping at words, convinced they were my life preserver, speaking without having a conversation. As I sink below the surface, realizing the absurdity of clutching for that which lacks substance, yet the vacuousness of words hits like an anvil, accelerating my descent to the depths. And I realize it was never emptiness reflected in the mirror. It was nothing at all, because in my haste, I saw myself through your eyes. End poem.
Sweet, are you still muted?
I'm here.
I had to get this. My dogs are like, it's 10 o'clock, it's time to put a bed. But this is gorgeous. And I realized that it's never emptiness reflected in the mirror. It was nothing at all. In my haste, I saw myself through your eyes. I can't even imagine what it's like to see, well, actually, yeah, to see yourself as nothing in someone else's life. It's probably the most devastating thing, you know, that you're nothing, that you've been wiped away. It's just awful. I hate your world in this locker. I really do. It breaks my heart every time. When words are never spoken, it's a heart far, far harsher crime than words that are spoken in peace. It's a brilliant poem. Guy, your thoughts?
I'm going to say goodnight after this. Well, I was waiting for Rack to read. So I this was wonderful, Rack, and I know I've read before, I've commented on it. I love reading things, beautiful poetry over and over again, so I'm so glad. And then you get to revisit it and experience it. When you say down to here, where was this? Convinced they were my grasping for words, convinced they were my life preservers, speaking without having a conversation. That hurts. I mean, that hurts the soul. As I think below the surface, realizing the absurdity of clutching with a lack of substance, I feel like when you're giving somebody and giving someone something and you're speaking but never really communicating, never really having a conversation, everything being one-sided, I mean, that's a horrible place to be. And the way that you describe it, the way that you put it there, the way that, you know, there's this illusion of this, you know, this person being a life preserver but really drowning you, it really sunk. And then when you get down to, I mean, there are so many other pieces, wonderful parts of the poem, but when you get down to and I realized it was never emptiness reflected in there, it was nothing at all. Hindsight can be brutal. And when you start to put all those pieces together, and I have no idea what this is about, but it makes me think of a conversation we once had about when you go through a relationship with somebody, it doesn't need to be a romantic relationship, but when you realize that how toxic it was, how it wasn't working, or how this person really wasn't what you thought they were, in hindsight, you see it so differently, and you start to put all those pieces together. This reminds me of that conversation and about how painful that could be. And I love the way that you put it into words. Really well done.
Thanks, Scott.
So I'm going to start talking.
Sweet pea, fellas.
Hello.
I last longer than you, sweet.
No, I'm still here. Sorry. I have a sick husband in the other room, so. Sorry,
I hope he feels better.
Is that a metaphor?
Huh? No.
Nothing.
Unfortunately, it's not. He started getting sick about
35 minutes ago, and he's like, come here. And I'm like, okay, I'm almost done. I'm almost done. So I have one more poem. Sky, thank you for hanging out with us. It's been a blast. I really enjoyed it. I've got one more poem. Comment,
good night.
Mr. David Prophet. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Oh, a comment.
Good night, Sky.
Good night. Good night, Sky. And Pretty Bird, did you comment on the poem yet?
No, I did not, but I will, but I'll make it short.
Please
so,
do.
Okay. Yes, your Hurt Locker breaks my heart. But there's something that happens when you have some semblance of a vision of yourself where it is, you know, you like to think you're a good person. You like to think, yeah, my husband's coming in here looking at me just right now. It's not even funny. Give me 2 minutes. Where you think you're a decent person and you can't figure out what the heck is wrong with these people that you care about that just are not right. And so when you put yourself in that moment of self-reflection where you try to block out the world, you try to look at things from their point of view, you try to go through and my eighth grader just came through at midnight to get through to take a shower. He's supposed to be in bed like 2.5 hours ago. I'm going to pretend I didn't see that. And when you see their side of the conversation or their side of what must fuel their rapid responses it's heartbreaking. And we go through these moments of, well, if they see it, there must be a reason. If that's what they think of me, it must be something that I have shown them. Maybe that is my truth. Maybe I'm seeing myself wrong. And that is a heartbreaking thing to lose your sense of self being skewed by how you're treated by you know, heartless others. It is horrible, and it's easier to do than it should be. It's easier to believe that it must be me. I must be wrong. I must be this horrible person, because it makes more sense than to be all, if I am a decent person, then they must be an ass. But when we see them with our hearts and how much we care about them and the experiences we've shared with them, it's very hard to see them other than who they were when we fell in love with them. It's a difficult, difficult thing, and it's horribly painful. And in those moments of weakness, when we acquiesce that, you know, there I am living, holding on to those empty words that are a shadow of what things used to be, it is truly heartbreaking. And you're lying here. I'm drowning in a sea of people looking through me. I have a poem called Content with the Warmth of the Body. And that's what that feels like to me. It is...
Microphone.
What?
You broke up.
Oh, I said you can be there with the person who's supposed to care about you the most and still be 100% invisible. And I think you captured that beautifully, painfully, but beautifully.
Beautifully. Absolutely, I agree.
Thank you, PB.
Now I've got peanut butter
and jelly.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be so much alike. It kills me, girl.
Well, at least
all
I
right,
didn't call
we gotta give Dave Prophet our love.
Does he have a SoundCloud, or are you reading?
No, I asked you to read for me.
Gosh darn it, I missed the whole thing. All right. I have to put my glasses on. Give me a second.
All right.
All right, Dave. Let's see what you got.
It's really cool concept. You don't want me screwing up all those words.
Like, I'm not going to. Here we go. This is Getting Off the Mobius Loop by D.W. Prophet. And it goes like this. Bad manners segue onto the Mobius Loop, gray matter pathways inside my mind. No closure is tattooed into its impossibilities. It still plays over and over in its endless silver axis. Silver axis. Oh, my goodness. I can't even read regular words. Bad behaviors, indelible ink, stained memories into its fabric. Rewind, replay any direction you can run it. Endless in its conception, savage in its execution, always running in the background. Spotlight, center stage in purples, most times uninvited. Let loose by some other fleeting child of memories past, for they know not what they have done. Kaleidoscopes, twinkling arrows, using your heart for a target, shoots forth its iridium arrows from its memory-tattered quiver. Starts the Mobius Loop's dull machine, round and round it goes, where it stops, only your heart knows. Symbology cast in glistening vermilion, we all know so well, runs its dismal sideshow. We also know quite well these memories, only solvent in your capacity of forgiveness, will trap you if you're fresh out. And drive you to destruction and its lack of instructions. If you fall for its tricks, if you have no introspection, let go of those whose bad manners set the height bar that says on the sign next to the loop, must be this high to ride. Can I get off this ride? Sure you can, my friend. And Paul.
I really love that he helps me learn, like, what the hell is a Mobius loop? And he tells me where to go. I really don't, you know, he's got, you know.
In the author's notes?
What it is. No, he tells you to go to YouTube or Wiki, and it is. It's something with a triangular made up of arrows, and it's like looping back on itself. It's very scientific kind of spacey thing. But I like the concept of it. So it's always constantly folding back into itself and around and around and around. But I love it. So it's like trapped within itself, kind of, from what I understand. I did not learn that much about it before. I read his poem and then I came back to you guys. It was just kind of like a quick little thing. But I have many things to learn about it. But you should get off of it because it clutters up your thought process. You just kind of go back and back. It's like having that conductor on the bad train loop in your mind. Like, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good. And yet, you know somebody in there is telling you you're a great person and everything like that. And you are. And you just kind of got to get past that. And I really like the concept of what he's saying. You know, I like spotlight centered stage in purples. So, you know, I love this, Dave. I love that you brought this. I love the colors in it. I love the idea that, you know, don't fall backwards into yourself. You got to get out of it. And it's always playing tricks, you know, set the height bar. You must be this high. Can I get off the ride? First off, it took me years to be this all to ride the ride, so I'm just saying. you get trapped in it. You get so trapped on, you know, I got to get on the ride again. God, when can you off the ride? I really like your perspective on this. I thought it was brilliant and just amazing. Good job. Pretty Bird, if you've read it, what do you think?
I'm going to do a quick Mobius loop thing for you. If you take a strip of paper, like you're making chain link loops as a kid, you take this like long skinny rectangle, flip one end backwards, and then you close it. If you write with a pen in one spot and you go all the way around, you don't move the pen, you just pull the paper, you will have made a line on both sides of that entire thing. And it's over. Wow. And over and over and over. So it is infinite, the way it spins in your mind, and it is all connected. There is no forwards, there is no backwards. It is just running all the time. Can't get off that sucker. It is quite brilliant the way he used that as a metaphor. I love how it starts with bad manners. So if somebody's an idiot for no apparent reason, we tend to, again, be like, well, what the heck did I do to deserve that? And then you're like, well, why are they such an idiot? But however that starts, whatever our unfortunate histories let that feed into, it kind of grows and spins. And, you know, you can't kick it off. It is stuck there over and over and over. I love this endless in its conception, savage in its execution, because nobody is meaner than we are to ourselves. Our mind dissects us and defines us at our worst. You know, we are that moment that we were an ass. We are that moment that we were
dead air.
I know.
You know,
loser. There she is.
Am I cutting out?
You did.
Yeah,
minute.
You were.
Oh well, that sucks. But so we are our own worst enemies, and I love how it's, you know, most times it's uninvited. It just kind of creeps in there. You know, it's let loose by some other moments. Like this touches that, and it's a domino effect of unfortunate memories that make us not be able to crawl out of our own butt. And he did this wonderfully. And then he's got twinkling arrows and purple spotlights, and he kind of makes it beautiful. Well, if we're going to take center stage, let's give you some glitter. Let's put some makeup on you. Let's just shine and sparkle for a while. Do the damn thing. I kind of really love that. Because for a moment there, he's like, well, let's go ahead and just embrace it for what it is. And then he's like, you know what? It's only real. It's only as real as you make it. You're only stuck there for as long as you let yourself be stuck there. Not that it's easy to change your perspective, but, you know, it's possible. And I love how he ends that with, of course you can get off the ride. Like, it's going to be the hardest work you've ever done in your whole gosh darn life, but of course you can. So I found it quite brilliant.
Wow. Amazing. All right. Rax, your thoughts?
I enjoyed it. The first thought that came to mind was the Ouroboros, the snake eating its own tail, but you know, the idea of something that kind of takes on a life of its own, and, you know, it's up to you to say, well, I'm done. I want to get off, you know. Again, it's the obvious solution that people tend to ignore, I think. It's like, I don't choose to participate. Those words tend not to come out of people's mouths sometimes when they're in one of those conversations that just takes on a life of its own. And you know, someone just wants to keep getting louder and louder and louder. And no matter what you say, they keep coming back to the same thing as if they're not even hearing what you're saying. So, yeah, you know, I want off this ride. You know, it's a brilliant thought, and he expressed it wonderfully.
Yeah. I agree. Okay, now it's time to go to bed. This is an incredible show. I've got to say, this has probably been one of my best shows in a long time, and the poetry was incredible. I am blown away.
Whoever,
I'm tired.
Whoever came up with the top recipient.
I am blissfully grateful and joyously exhausted. And thank you, Pretty Bird, and thank you, Rack, for hanging out with me till the end. Thank you, Hatter and AP and Deb, and just calling in and being there. And I'm just sometimes awed at the amazing people that come and hang out with me. Just really, it's amazing. Pretty Bird, Rack, Infinite Destruction, Hey, Deborah Lee, Mr. Prophet, Hatter, Sky,
everybody that wrote to me, AP, dropping in. Tonight's poetry was just off the chain, and that shows you how old I am. so, you know. But you're all dear to my heart, and thank you for everybody that listens or downloads later. I'm almost to the point where I'm giddy with the fact that I can barely talk. So I am going to say goodnight. Hadn't enjoyed the thought that you think I did something with Pretty Bird, because all it has to do is with a list of vocabulary words, if anybody wants to know. they're funny. They're great. So if you ever want to spend some time with a friend, dive into finding some obscure words, and it's a great giggle, at least in words between me and Pretty Bird, because what else do we got to do? So good night, guys. We'll talk soon.
Before we go, can I just say one thing, because I think it fits, if you don't mind? It'll literally take 10 seconds.
Not ever.
I came across this meme today that I thought was perfect, and it says, courage is knowing it might hurt and doing it anyway. Stupidity is the same, and that's why life is hard. And I think that's the exact reason we get stuck in our heads, and we trap ourselves there, because is it brave or is it stupid? Are we strong or are we an idiot? You know, so I just thought that fit kind of perfectly.
Yeah, it does. I agree. Yeah, because we sit there and try to determine which one it is, and sometimes we just stay trapped because we don't know. You know, we just don't know. Am I going to be laughed at like I'm the idiot, or are they going to give me a medal because I'm so brave? And nobody wants to be laughed at, and some of us are too shy to get the medal. So who knows? I love that, Pretty Bird. I really do. All right, world. Either good morning, good night, or good afternoon. I will talk to you all soon. Have a good one. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night, Rack.
Houston Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.